May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, if you have a Bible with you, or you can get one of the red ones in front of you, turn again to the gospel within the gospel that we've been looking at, and for CTKers, we'll keep looking at and glancing at in the days and weeks, months to come. This is from, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. So let the language, let me read to you the way most of us act like we think it says. So I'm going to read this the way most of us live and respond to God and deal with situations and temptations the way we think it reads. And God is able to make some grace abound to you that sometimes, having some sufficiency, every now and then, may occasionally have an abundance for some good works. That's just sort of a reflection of most of our Christian lives. God never intended for our Christian lives to be an ebb and flow. It's never meant to be a roller coaster. I've even heard people say, when I was in Bible college, well-meaning speakers and even in conferences, that God doesn't want you up here, and God doesn't want you down here. He kind of wants you in the middle consistently. But that's not what the Scripture says at all. He says He's called us to live an above life. He's called us to an abundant life. He says He's called us to have hinds feet on high places. And Jesus didn't live here. He certainly didn't live here, but He didn't live here either, in a place of consistent mediocrity. He lived a life seated in heavenly places, and God's called us to that, to live in that. And this Scripture tells us, let these words wash over you again, and God is able. That really is the bottom line, isn't it? Do we believe He's able? That really is the heart of our theology, the foundation of our faith. Is He able? And God is able to make all grace abound to you. The word abound again is above and over. That you, and that's plural, so it means all of you, always having, not always hoping, but always having, so that you always possessing, present tense, all sufficiency. All, like sufficiency, like the sufficiency to know peace, to have joy, to be patient, to be able to forgive, to walk in morality, to pray for with an anointing, to love, to walk in humility, to face situations and circumstances, that always having all sufficiency in everything. Now, whatever it is you might bring up, it follows under the category of everything, that you may have an abundance for every good deed. So let me read it again. I know this is redundant, but if you're like me, the Lord told Paul in 2 Timothy, pound the truth in them, because He knows we're thick. God is able to make all grace abound, not just barely get you to squeak by, abound to you that always having. So wherever you're at right now, you got it. You have it right now. Always having all sufficiency in everything. No excuses. You may have an abundance for every good work. But here's the deal. That's the truth. Right now, you have, because right now is part of always. Right, George? And wherever you're at, whatever you're facing, that's under the category of everything. So you always have, you have right now, sufficiency of the abounding grace of God in the everything that you're a part of. So you can abound. Not just squeak by, but abound over and above. Walk in victory in everything you're dealing with. Now here's the deal. That's the truth. Most of us spend our Christian lives in belief, not unbelief. Christians are trying hard to believe. We spend most of our life believing that he can. But at some point, we got to cross over when he says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always having, present tense, all sufficiency in everything. At some point, we have to stop believing he can and start trusting that he is. That's the difference between victory and defeat. What does he say in 2 Corinthians 12:9? My grace could be, might be, you should hope it is, sufficient for you. No, he says, my grace is. But you see, here's the thing about faith. The scripture says that faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. We've talked about this over the years. Faith isn't hoping, it goes beyond hoping. Hope is a joyful anticipation, but faith goes beyond that and goes, I got it. Faith is substance. Faith doesn't make something exist. It just pulls that which exists from one realm into your realm. But it already exists. What's true in the spiritual dominates what's true here. So it's the master. So it already exists. Faith just believes. And so faith is substance. If you have real faith, you're not hoping something is, you're not believing that it can, you got it. You may not see it yet, you may not feel it yet, you may not experience it yet, but you got it. In your heart, you know that you know, you got it, and you've committed yourself to that reality. You're going to act like it, you're going to behave it, you're going to talk like it, you got it. Amen? That's faith. And it's faith that pulls that which exists in the spiritual realm into your experience. Having given thanks, looking up to the Father, and having given thanks, that's a risky thing. Thanking means it is. Not a hope it is, it can be, it is. Then the bread, the 5 loaves and 2 fish, became more than enough for about 15,000 people. It already was enough. Jesus saw the reality in heaven. Faith was based on that, and substance caused it to become real here. Acting like it is so, when it isn't so, in order for it to be so. But here's the deal. Since faith is substance, everything that you see around here that is substance means it has weight to it. There's a gravitational thing to it. And everything that has substance has to have something that it rests on. You ever notice that? The material has to be resting on the stuff underneath the material. The wood's got to be resting on another piece of wood. You can't just build a building by suspending all the material in air. It'll just fall apart. You know, your shoes have to be on the ground. You have to be sitting on something. Everything that's substance has to have a solid foundation. Alrighty? Now here's what you got to understand. What is our solid foundation? Faith is substance. So what is that substance resting on? The Word. Not your experience. Not your emotion. Not your success record or failure record. Our substance is on, resting on, and taking hold of and counting on the Word of Christ. It's His Word. And when you rest on the Word, when you take hold of the Word, the experience follows. You got to hear that, because you can't separate His Word from His person. When you trust His Word, you're trusting His person. And Peter, we'll talk about this maybe Wednesday night, said, Lord Jesus, if that's you, bid me come. And Jesus, he stepped out in faith, but what was his faith resting on? That was substance. He's stepping out. Not praying for it to be. He stepped out on the Word, come. And with the Word brings the blessing. The victorious life, the life that's Christ, the enjoying the all-sufficiency in everything that you have. You got to step out on that word. You can't wait to experience it, to feel it. The experience, signs and wonders always follow what? The word. Our faith can be encouraged by signs and wonders, but our faith is not in signs and wonders. We stand alone on the word of God. And then we enter into the experience of what's already true. Amen? It's one of the most important things you'll ever hear. Today is my, I don't even know. Some days in the past 2 weeks of my fast, and this is the thing the Lord's been emphasizing, drilling in me over and over again. Charismatics keep waiting on the experience. He said the experience keeps waiting on their faith. And their foundation is not the experience. It follows. The foundation, that the substance, is on the word that I've given them. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.